as we seek to put this puzzle back together and complete our journey through this book. Revelation can seem like quite a puzzle to us. But this morning I wanted to provide you, as we bring a summary and bring this to a conclusion, some resources and tools that will kind of help you visualize this book in a way that you can remember it and have a grasp, better understanding on the book. And I have in the bulletin this morning several things that we're going to share that we're going to use just briefly in this review. And it's more not really a sermon this morning. I'm not really going to be preaching because I preached through the whole book and you all know it now. So it's more just a review and going to be more just a brief review and teaching here more than preaching this morning, but just to kind of help us get a handle on this. Revelation, as we know, is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John on the island of Patmos, where he was banished for the sake of the gospel, where Jesus was revealing himself to John and to us of his plan for not only John, but in the days to come. And inside your bulletin, there's a paper that says Revelation on it, and this gives us a good overview of what the book is about and how we can get a better handle and understanding. Because John, this divides based on the verse where the Lord said to John, I must show you what is now and what is yet to be and what is yet to come. And the book of Revelation divides into three simple ways. Those things which are now seen, which was chapter 1, which when we saw that vision and revelation of John, of Jesus to John, when the Lord revealed himself to him in his glory, as the book opened up and as John was on the island and he heard the voice behind him and he saw who it was and he saw Jesus revealed in all his glory. The Lord was revealing to John that particular time for him. And also the things that are moves into chapters 2 and 3, and that was where the Lord was speaking to the churches, to the church age, to this particular time. And the Lord is speaking to Christians now and to Christians of all times through his churches, and we saw that. And then chapters 4 through the end of the book were the things that would take place. And from chapter 4 on, as you remember that, keep that in mind, from chapter 4 on, the rest of Revelation deals with future events. From the beginning of the tribulation on, until the Lord's return and the new heaven and new earth. So it's a simple three divisions. So you keep in mind when the events were happening. John's day was chapter 1. The church age is chapters 2 and 3. And 4 to the end is the tribulation till the end and the beginning of the new heaven and new earth. So that just kind of helps you give a timeline of when the events of tribulation of the book of Revelation occur as we dealt with them and looked at them more detail. On the back side of it, I loved this when I found it because it says Revelation made simple. That's what we all want because I'm a simple guy. I'm simple minded and I like to keep things simple. And hopefully Revelation was simple for us as we tried to simplify as we went through it. But this is Revelation made simple. Some things I want to point out to you. You can keep this in your Bible and with all the notes. And some of you told me you want to go online and listen to the sermons again, and I encourage you can do that. Go through and listen to them again if you want. Someone told me they're going to download them and put them on one CD and kind of put them all together so they have it all if you want to do that. But as you're going through it again, or keep this with your stuff that you've gone through, this breaks down every single chapter and gives you an overview of what happened or what is happening in that particular chapter of the book of Revelation, so you'll have it and have a handle on it. That will help you to see it and bring it back to your mind. The colors there, and I just want to highlight that, that will help you. The colors, the blue, is those two chapters deal with the seven letters to the churches. The pink deal with the seals. We talked about the seal judgments. The orange deals with the trumpet judgments. We talked about them. And the green deals with the bowl jump judgments. We talked about the Super Bowls, and you remember them. And so they're color-coded to help you remember the letters to the churches, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, and where they fall into the midst of all this. And it will just help you have everything in a glance of the whole book of Revelation right here at your fingertips. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty helps us get a handle on it and to have that at our disposal. So as I thought about, well, how can I review this book? We just looked at it in detail. We looked at every single thing under the microscope, piece by piece. How can we put it together in a broad overview? And the Lord gave me an idea that will help us, I think, visually. And I come up with, in your bulletin, you'll see five symbols, five pictures. And I thought, a good way for us to get a handle on what Revelation is about, and by the end of this time of review, all of you in this room will know more about the book of Revelation and be able to say Revelation is about this than I'd say probably 70% of people, because it will help you with the handle of what we're going to do here. The symbols are going to help us identify the main themes of this book, because Revelation is a book of hope. And keep that in mind as you think about what this book is about. Generally, in reality, it is a book of hope. The Lord was giving this message to John as he was banished on the Isle of Patmos for the faith, to encourage him and also to encourage the Christians of John's day. Remember, this was written in the end of the first century when Christians were being persecuted by their faith by the Roman government. And so it was written to encourage them in their faith, and in their suffering, and in their hardship, and in their trials that they were facing, tribulation with a small t. Because Jesus said, in this world we will face tribulations. We will go through times of tribulation and heartache and suffering. We all do. As Christians, we're not immune from it, as you know. But thankfully, we won't go through the great tribulation. But we go through times of tribulation and suffering, and we need words of encouragement. We need hope, something to hold on to in the midst of those times, don't we? And above all else, that's what Revelation was. A book of encouragement, a book of hope to John, to the churches of that day, to the churches of all time, until Jesus splits that eastern sky, until the trumpet sounds and we're raptured to be with him and we're living in his presence forever. But our hope, when we hear that word hope, I'd just like to remind you, for us as Christians, hope is a certainty. It's not something that we say, oh, I hope happens, or I wish will be. Hope for us is a certainty. It's something you can take to the bank. It's something you can put stock in. It's something you can believe in with an absolute fact. And so, being that Revelation is a book of hope, all that we've looked at, all that God has promised you and me, all that he said is going to occur, is not a maybe. It's an absolute certainty that it will. The suffering, the judgments of the tribulation time, the return of Jesus, all that we looked at in the beautiful place of heaven that he has promised and is preparing, is a reality. It's our hope. It's a certainty. It's as true as that you and I are breathing right now. So it's that book of hope. But it's also a book of encouragement. To encourage us along the way. To encouragement when life gets hard. To encourage us to keep running the race. To encourage us to keep pressing on. Because there is a wonderful place being prepared for us. To encourage us. So because of that, we can rejoice. We can rejoice no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard the days get, no matter what medical report we hear, no matter what financial crisis we face, no matter how dark things may get in America or anywhere else, we can rejoice because God has given us this letter of hope. And we know that what he's promised is true. And we can endure. We can endure just as through the times of hardship, through the times of suffering, because there is a glorious place ahead. We've seen the end of the story. We know the end of the story. We looked at it. And we can endure. And we had that assurance. So, bringing us to those symbols, And I thought these symbols would be a way to help us remember the book. And if you just remember these five symbols or five pictures, you will have a grasp of the entire content of the major themes of the book of Revelation. I can do it in as simple as 5 minutes. You can say it to somebody, this is what Revelation's about, and you'll have your whole understanding of the entire book for you. Beginning with the first one, a cross. The cross reminding us of the first major theme of this book, and that is that Jesus is Lord. Chapters 1 to 5 deal with that theme, that Jesus is Lord. In the first part of the book of Revelation, that's exactly what we see. Opening up with Jesus as Lord, presented as he reveals himself to John on that island, as he turns around and he sees the one speaking to him, Jesus in all of his glory, as we saw that glorious revelation vision as we began so long ago. And Jesus revealing himself that I am the one who was dead and is alive again, and I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Jesus is Lord. The first five chapters of the book show the lordship of Christ in different ways. Chapter 1 reveals to us that Jesus is Lord over sin and death. And we saw that as he revealed himself to John. And he said, I am the living one. I hold the keys, death and hell and the grave. And this morning as we come to the Lord's table, we're reminded again that our Savior is Lord. And he's Lord over sin and death. He paid the price for your sin and mine. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He paid the price in full, but he did not stay in that grave. He rose again, and he lives, and he holds the keys. He is Lord over sin and death, and that's why we can rejoice. That's why we can endure, right? That's why we can come to the table this morning in fellowship, because he is Lord over sin and death. But he's also Lord over his church. Chapters 2 and 3 were the letters to the churches. That reminds us that Jesus is Lord over his church. As you remember, as we went through that section, every single letter was to a particular church. He knew their need well. And he said, I know you. I am in your midst. This is the word of the one who was walking in your midst for the candlesticks. And he said, I know what you've done. And I know you. And this is my word to you. And Jesus is Lord over his church. He's Lord over our lives. And he knows your heart and mine. He knows the issues in our life. He knows the sin that we still need to repent of, the struggles going on. He knows the trials we're facing, and he's here with us to bring a word to us. And he speaks directly into our life personally. And as we saw, he spoke to each of those churches individually with a different, unique message to their need, just as he speaks to each one of us, a continual message to our need personally. He's Lord over all. He's Lord over his sin and death. He's Lord over his church. And he's Lord over all things. Chapters 4 and 5 dealt with that glorious vision where John was caught up into heaven and he began to see the things were going to begin to occur in the future. And chapter 4, you remember, was that wonderful throne room where John saw the vision and of the holiness of God and the angels falling before him in worship. In chapter 5, we saw Jesus as the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the earth. And it said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. The Lamb, Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. And Jesus is Lord over all things and over all of his creation. And he is Lord of all. So the first five chapters deal with that, that Jesus is Lord. When you see the cross, or keep that cross in mind, Revelation reminds us that Jesus is Lord. Second brings us to the second picture or symbol, and that's the dragon. And that reminds us that Satan will rage. He will fight. He is fierce. He is intense. He is our enemy. Verses chapter 6 through 19, and that deals with all the horrors of the tribulation that we looked at. And we're not going to go over it again, but that all deals with when the Antichrist comes to power, when he rules, when he does all his evil and Satan reigns through him, and Satan's fighting against the Christians of that day and the persecution of the saints, and even now in our time, Satan will rage. The dragon was cast out of heaven to earth, and that dragon is fighting against the Lord and continues to. And Satan continues to rage. He's raging now, but in that time of tribulation will be fierce. We saw how bad those 7 years will be. And that reminds us, the dragon, that Satan will rage. But this is a book of encouragement. It's a book of hope. Satan can fight. He can rage. That fire-breathing dragon can breathe as much fire as he wants. But the book goes on, as we remember, because it brings us to the next picture, the crown. And that says Jesus will reign. Satan will rage as much as he wants. He'll try to fight in those 7 years of tribulation. He'll think he's having his way. But we get to chapter 19, you remember, and that's where John saw the vision of the rider coming on the white horse from heaven. And his clouds following behind him. And the armies falling behind him with the proclaiming, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus came, and Jesus will come, and he will reign. And then it goes on from his return to chapter 20. We looked at the millennial reign of Christ, where Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years as king and as Lord. And so the crown reminds us that Jesus will reign. Yes, Satan will rage, but Jesus will reign. And Jesus does reign as king. The next symbol, the trophy, you can probably figure it out. But the trophy is that we will win. And this is a book of encouragement, book of hope. And that's who we get from this. Chapters 19 to 22 remind us that we will win. When Jesus returns, when the armies of heaven, when we come with him, and he returns and sets up his kingdom in that battle of Armageddon that we looked at, one fell word of the Lord, and boom, the Antichrist and all his forces are destroyed. Satan is captured, put into the lake of fire, as you know. At the end of that, he is thrown in, at the end of the tribulation, at the end of the kingdom, after he's let out of the pit for the 1,000 years where he's bound, that he's taken and thrown into the lake of fire forever. And we will win. Satan, sin, all those enemies of Christ will be destroyed. We are on the winning side. So that's why we can rejoice. That's why we can have hope. That's what the Lord wanted to remind John in his day as he was facing persecution. That's what he wanted Christians of all times to learn from this book, is that we are on the winning side. No matter how intense the battles are, Satan will rage, but we will win. The victory is assured. It's not something we hope to win, but our hope is a certainty. We will win. Hallelujah. And that's what Revelation again reminds us of. The trophy reminds us of that. The next picture, the gavel, reminds us that judgment will fall. And in chapter 17 to 20, you remember that dealt with God's judgment on Babylon and on the false religious system. And all those who, the false churches, and we've seen in our day how a lot of churches are departing from the truth and accepting things that are not biblically true, and how we got to stand firm on that. And judgment will fall on those churches and on anybody that distorts the truth. And we saw that in chapter 17. Chapter 18 dealt with the judgment falling on the world system itself. And then chapter 20 was the judgment of the great white throne, when those who will stand before the Lord who never knew Jesus and will hear him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But judgment will fall. People think today that they can get away with things, but judge, there is a day of judgment coming. The gavel reminds us of that. Our judge has ruled and declared, and it will be. Satan will meet his doom. Those who do not know Christ will be cast forever into that lake of fire, in the place the Bible calls hell, for eternal suffering. People today don't like to talk about it, but we know it's true, and the Bible proclaims it. But it brings us to the final one, the tree. You probably figured it out, but the tree reminds us that paradise will be restored. Verses chapters 21, chapters 22, we looked at that, where it talked about the description of heaven and what heaven's going to be like, in the new heaven and new earth. And in the middle of it will be the tree of life, which is in the Garden of Eden. And we see, as we looked at those that week, that in the new heaven and new earth. It's going to be returned to paradise the way God intended things to be in the beginning. And we'll live with him forever in his presence, no longer capable of sinning. All sin, sorrow, suffering will be destroyed. And we will live in perfect fellowship and relationship with God for all eternity. And it's hard for us to comprehend that. All eternity. So there you go. I just gave you a whole brief thing in the book of Revelation in five simple symbols. Five fingers gives you on your hand. Five symbols gives you an entire grasp of the book of Revelation. You can hold it in your grasp and say, here's the book of Revelation in my grasp. This is what it's about. So before we leave this and prepare for communion, just so you can share this with somebody else and say, if they don't understand what books of Revelation is about, say, my pastor did a review, we went through it, and then we reviewed it, and here's what it's about. Remind you, you can keep this before you, the cross reminds us that Jesus is Lord, first five chapters. The dragon reminds us that Satan will rage, the tribulation period, chapter 6 through 19. The crown reminds us that Jesus will reign, chapter 19 and 20. The cup reminds us that we will win. The gavel reminds us that judgment will fall. There is a final day of judgment. Yes, chapters 17, 18, 19, 20. And the tree reminds us that paradise will be restored. And we have a wonderful promise of a future waiting for us. That is the book of Revelations, friend. That's Revelation in your fingertips. That's, if you understand that, you understand far more of Revelation than I'll give you the average person does. And that puts everything right together of what we just looked at and spent months doing together. We just went over briefly, but that gives you the good handle on it. How does this relate? Well, we bring Revelation to a close, but as we come to the Lord's table, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, I want to remind you that on the night the Lord was betrayed, he took bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples. And he said, Jesus said, as often as you eat this, he said, do it in remembrance of me. But he said, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so the Lord has given us a way to look back through communion at what he did for us. And it's a picture and reminder of his sacrifice on the cross, that he died, paid his blood, shed his blood to pay for your sins and mine, because unless we could not save ourselves, it was only through him. And he paid the price, and we remember his sacrifice. Remember that he died, that he shed his blood. I should have been on the cross, you should have. We all were deserving of hell. But he paid the price, and we remember that. But he gave it to his disciples and said, as long as you do this, remember me. But he also took the cup and said, as he said, drink from it. Not only remember my sacrifice, this is the blood of the covenant that I paid for your sin, but he also said, I will not drink of this again until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's coming kingdom. And it has a future element that as we not only share in remembrance, it's also a reminder of our assurance that someday we're going to be around the Lord's table in heaven, receiving from him and drinking of the bread and the cup in fellowship with him for all eternity. So he said, as long as we do this, we remember the past and we share our love for him now until he comes again. So we have that future hope that we just saw in Revelation being promised us again in the table. That through the bread and the cup, it's a reminder of his suffering, paying for our sin, but also a promise that we will be with him in heaven someday. And we will sit around his table in eternal fellowship because of what he's done for us on the cross. And our faith and accepting that by faith and being born again. So as we come to the table, come remembering, but come rejoicing. That someday, not only because he paid the price, someday paradise is going to be restored. And we're going to sit around his table in heaven in his kingdom, rejoicing in his presence forever. That's our hope. And that's what we can celebrate as we come to his table this morning. As we prepare to meet our Lord in his table, as is our custom, I'd ask you to join me in a prayer of confession and consecration. I'm going to kneel, but you don't have to. If you want to kneel, that's fine, or you can just remain seated, whatever you would like to do. But as we join together in a prayer of confession and consecration.